just want to begin with a rhetorical question. What has happened to goodness? What has happened to the simple expectation of just being good? Not perfect, but what has happened to goodness? I think goodness is probably one of the most undervalued and overlooked fruit of the spirits. And yet at some point, I think all of us in our lives, we want to be good. We want to be good friends. We want to be good people. We want to be good spouses. We want to be good parents. We want to be good Christians. We want to be good citizens. We want to be good leaders. We want, at some point in our lives, we want to be good. But I think if we've ever wanted to be good at anything, we have quickly learned that being good is hard. In fact, Paul put it like this in his letter to the Romans. Paul the missionary, Paul said, but why is it so hard? He's talking about being good. Paul says, I don't really understand myself. For I want to do what is right. I want to do good, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. And I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. I want to do what is right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. This is not my words, it's Paul's. He says, so I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. He's not talking about being perfect. He's talking about being good. Why is it so hard to be good? To answer the question, let's go to one of the most difficult days of Jesus' ministry up to this point. Our text today shows how to be good when being good is hard. The story picks up right before Jesus performs one of the most well-known miracles, the feeding of the 5,000. We didn't read it, but right after all of the beheading, he does the feeding of the 5,000. But we get so caught up in all the good that's happening with the miracles and the feeding of the 5,000 and Jesus taking the fish and the loaves, rarely do we ever associate these two texts together. We never talk about how hard it must have been. We talk about the goodness. We talk about the miracles. We talk about the boy handing over his lunch. But rarely do we mention how hard this must have been for Jesus. It's hard because Jesus recently found out about the death of his cousin John at the hands of Herod Antipas. This was the same John whose sole mission and purpose was to prepare the people for Jesus' arrival. I mean, their lives were tied together before they were even born. This was the same John that had the honor of baptizing Jesus. And yet when John gets arrested and imprisoned, he dies in a cruel manner and dies a horrible death. And this is the news that Jesus has to deal with. Perhaps this is why the text says he withdrew by boat by himself to a solitary place. He gave himself the space to process, to heal. He resets. He doesn't go away to escape, but to realign, to connect. And Jesus is showing us that we can't be good away from God, because goodness is easier when we're connected to God. I mean, imagine if Jesus got some goodness from anywhere, from anyone. I mean, goodness is so much easier when you're getting it in return. Imagine if the text read like this. Imagine if we took some liberties and just imagine if Jesus had received some goodness. It would have read maybe something like this. When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns, and when they saw Jesus, they had compassion on him. They forgot about their own hunger and sat with him as he had done for them so many times. In fact, they asked Jesus if he wanted something to eat. They asked him if he was hungry. So someone volunteered to go into town, but there was a little boy there that brought a small lunch and was willing to hand it over to Jesus, not to feed everyone, but just to feed him. And when Jesus had finished eating the loaves and the fish, the people surrounded him and prayed that God would strengthen him for the journey ahead. So when it was time for Jesus to depart, they gave him a doggy bag just in case he got hungry on the way home. And when he returned, there was an apology waiting from Herod, admitting the error of his ways. Yeah. It's easy being good when the issues and the problems have been resolved. It's easy to be good when we receive goodness. But what happens when the hurt is unaddressed? What happens when we're not connected to God, when we don't take time to reconnect, the things that we have in process gets passed on, and cruelty loves company. In fact, instead of operating from a place of wholeness, we approach situations with bitterness and resentment. It would have been easy for Jesus to allow the cruelty that he experienced to rub off on him and to the people that needed him. And if we are not careful, brothers and sisters, we can become the very thing that we despise. I mean, it gives life to the saying that hurt people, and many people have difficulties being good or giving away goodness and generosity, not because they're mean, but simply because we have unresolved issues, and the negativity rubs off, and we give what has been given to us. We inflict the pain that we have received, and without even knowing it, what we see, what we hear, what we experience, it rubs off. I think that's why growing up, my mother, and she watches all of our services, my mother was obsessed with people taking their shoes off when they came into the house. Obsessed with it. I mean, in fact, she didn't even let people come.